We're going to look at this passage under the heading of the resurrection means. What does a resurrection mean? Well, it is an immense privilege to be able to open up God's word on this very special day, Easter Sunday. And it's a day of huge significance, isn't it? But why? Why? Well, lots of you, I'm sure, will have been tucking into Easter eggs this morning. My children definitely enjoy those, or anything sweet. But is that it? Is that it? Is that why today is so special? Well, the good news is that it's much better than that. It's about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, in recent weeks, as the UK and the world, in fact, has been gripped by a pandemic, and so many of the things that people put their hope in have been shown up to be anything other than certain, we've perhaps been more urgently seeking to share the amazing hope that is found in Jesus. And perhaps if you're not a Christian this morning, and it's great to have you with us, if you are joining us and you're not trusting in Christ, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you with us. But you may have been watching on recently and wondering, what on earth is the basis for this hope that you talk about? Well, this is it. This is it right here. Here's the basis of the hope that we have as Christians. This event that occurred in history, on this planet, around 2,000 years ago. See, friends, the reason that we have this hope, and I'm not talking about a fanciful hope here, I'm talking about what the Bible describes a sure and certain hope. The reason for that is because the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. There is no grave for him. The thing is, it's all well and good having faith, but if there's no tangible basis for that faith, then it really is futile. It's nothing more than what you'd say is blind faith. And maybe that's what you think of Christianity. Oh, it's good for you. I'm glad you've got something to lean on, something of a crutch. But really, it's just blind faith. Folks, let me assure you, Christianity is anything other than blind faith. It is faith that is rooted in history, in the God-man, Jesus Christ, who stepped into this planet. He walked the dusty paths of Israel. He's the man who split time in two. We're talking about real life events. And you see, Christianity stands and falls entirely on the reality of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. See, if there's no resurrection, there's no point. You may as well switch off your devices and televisions now. We can forget it. Speaking of devices, good morning, Auntie Gwen. I hope you're enjoying your new tablet. But as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, he says this: if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. So the Bible's very honest. You see, if these events didn't happen, just don't bother. Just don't bother. But friends, if there is a resurrection, that changes everything. And people of Newtown and further afield, here's the wonderful truth this morning. Jesus is alive. Now, over the last 2,000 years, many attempts have been made to discredit and disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's the one event that has caused so many problems for ardent atheists down through the ages. See, the evidence is there. The reason the tomb was empty is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It's been researched and researched. It's been attested and attested. And it stands firm. And yet some of you will still be sitting in your homes responding just like those chief priests that we read about in Matthew 28, verses 11 to 15. See, when confronted with the unmistakable reality of the resurrection, what was the response of the chief priests? Was it to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and King, as he so clearly is? Well, we see back in the passage that the guards, having been set on duty to make sure that nobody faked the resurrection of Jesus as he'd predicted what would happen before he died, hadn't he? The guards came to the chief priests and the elders to report exactly what had happened. They'd encountered an angel who had scared the living daylights out of them. The angel had rolled back the stone to reveal an empty tomb. Jesus had risen. No doubt about it. And the chief priests did what countless people have done ever since. And perhaps it's what you have done up until now. They sought to suppress the truth. So verse 12 of Matthew 28, it says this: they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." They sought to cover it up. Is that you? Are you unwilling to confront the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Well, I pray that this morning you will be stirred to reconsider. So I want us to consider three things that the resurrection means from the account here in Matthew 28. And the first thing is this: the resurrection means that Jesus is true to his word. There are so many competing voices in this world, aren't there? There are so many people out there looking to promise us different things, making claims about themselves, giving us advice that they want us to heed and follow. But if we're honest, it's so hard to work out what or who we can trust, isn't it? Do you find that? It's become such a feature of our current society of fake news and false promises that many people have resigned themselves to the notion that there is no absolute truth. Everybody needs to find their own truth. You develop this sense that you can't really trust anybody. So that motto of just look after number one, it becomes all the more attractive to us. We can't really trust anybody else. Now, whether it's slogans painted on the side of buses or whether it's broken promises by close friends or family members, or perhaps people that we really look up to, preaching one thing and then disappointing us by doing the complete opposite, there is much cause for skepticism. And it's understandable if you're reluctant to completely trust anybody or anything. Even in the past week, the Scottish chief medical advisor was forced to resign after being the face of the campaign in Scotland to encourage everybody to stay home during the current lockdown. She was subsequently photographed visiting her second home with her family twice. Someone who you'd assume to be trustworthy, causing huge embarrassment to the Scottish government. And she's not alone, is she? Are we resigned to just not being able to trust anyone? Well, thankfully, there's one who is always true to his word, and that's Jesus Christ. See, Mary in our passage head to the tomb and they're confronted with this spectacular scene. The stone rolled away from the tomb and an angel sitting on the stone. But notice what the angel said to the women in verse 8. He says this: "He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." See, the resurrection of Jesus is no fluke. It's not an optical illusion. It's something that Jesus himself predicted on numerous occasions. The chief priests and the Pharisees knew that. That's why we read in chapter 27, verses 62 and 63. It says, the next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise again. See, that's what led to the tomb being secured and guarded. Well, let's just have a quick look at some of those predictions that Jesus made. In John 2 verse 19, we read this. Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He was talking about his body. Matthew chapter 16 verse 21 says, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And John chapter 10 verses 17 and 18, we read this. Jesus says, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. See, these are extraordinary claims, but in a sense, they're really risky claims as well. See, Jesus, throughout his life, he was known as someone who spoke words of truth. He was someone who could be truly trusted. No one spoke like this man, we read. If he didn't follow through with these incredible claims he was making, he'd be shown up to be just the same as everyone else. He'd be no different to the Scottish medical advisor. They'd all be shown up to be nothing more than rhetoric. But this is where Jesus Christ stands apart from every single person ever to have lived. See, the empty tomb shows us that Jesus is absolutely true to his word. In Luke's account of the gospel, of this resurrection, there's almost a note of incredulity from the angel. Why are you looking for Jesus here? Tombs are for dead people. He told you he'd rise again. Did you not believe him? Friends, he really did rise. He really is alive today. He appeared to hundreds of eyewitnesses. People went to their graves being burnt at the stake for holding on to the truth of the resurrection. There's no grave to Jesus today because he is not dead. And wonderfully, this shows us that we can trust every single word that comes out of his mouth. A man called John Boyce helpfully comments here. He says, the resurrection of Christ is the amen of all his promises. What else does Jesus promise? Well, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you feeling weary? Are the current circumstances in your life, in the world, are they wearing you down? Come to Jesus. He's true to his word. He will give you rest. He also says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Are you just not sure whether Jesus will accept you? Are you too ashamed of your past? Are you convinced that you'll be rejected? Well, get rid of that thought. Come to Jesus. He's true to his word. The whole of the Bible, in fact, centers on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Countless Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We looked at some of those on Friday. There's just one event that Jesus spoke of that is yet to happen, and that is his return. Talking of that occasion, just days before his death, Jesus says this in Matthew 24, verse 44. He says, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him." Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Folks, he is true to his word. He said he would rise again. He rose again. He said he's coming back. He is coming back. This time to judge the living and the dead. Are you ready? Well, that brings us nicely onto our second point, and that is how it is that we can be ready. So secondly, the resurrection means that Jesus has conquered sin and death. Jesus has conquered sin and death. Now, we've got something of a problem in the world at the moment, haven't we? We really are in unprecedented times. I've heard the word unprecedented an unprecedented number of times in recent weeks. The COVID-19 virus has brought large swathes of the world to a standstill. People aren't going to work. Planes aren't flying. Shops aren't opening unless they sell essential items. People are experiencing isolation. Some will be really struggling with this. It's a big problem. But let me level with you. It is not even close to being our biggest problem. See, perhaps a good thing about our current predicament is that it's brought into sharp focus, as Tim was saying on Friday, how little control we have over our own lives. And society in general, in fact. It's perhaps brought death into sharper focus for many. It has, I'm sure, caused many to consider bigger questions. The Bible is clear that our biggest problem is sin. The world isn't supposed to be like this. And really, we know that, don't we? Our world is broken. We are broken. We all say, do, think things that we are ashamed of. And the biggest consequence of sin is that it has cut us off from the God who made us. Yes, that's right. You're not an accident. You were created by God. See, sin has this hold over us. It's our greatest enemy. It's our greatest problem. And we are powerless to do anything about it. It's like the most deadly virus in the world ever, by a million miles. And every single one of us is infected. Now, why is the coronavirus causing such a problem across the world? Well, the problem is that at present, there is no vaccine. Therefore, when people become unwell and seriously unwell with it, the only thing that our wonderful NHS staff can do is to treat the symptoms. Give people oxygen, put them on a ventilator. Just simply seek to minimise the damage. See, we're not able to deal with a problem at source. Our amazing health service is doing an absolutely terrific job in dealing with those symptoms and seeking to preserve life. But the sad fact is that often it just isn't enough. We need a vaccine. What about that deadly virus we've just mentioned that infects every single one of us? Sin. Well, much of what we seek to do as a society is to treat the symptoms. And that's great. Education, social security, police, youth and children's services. These are all wonderful things. And in the same way as the NHS at present, they do a great job of seeking to manage those symptoms. But the virus of sin is still rampant. We see the effects of it everywhere we turn. We need a vaccine. Here's the wonderful news of Easter. Jesus Christ has provided a vaccine. More incredible than that, Jesus Christ is the vaccine. See, that's what Good Friday was all about. We considered with Tim how Jesus was nailed to the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. That's what was happening. Jesus lived a perfect life and was then crucified for all the sins of all those who put their trust in him. Now, when a vaccine for COVID-19 has been developed, how will we know that it has been successful? Well, we'll know because people will be given it, and the power of the virus will be nullified. It will lose its deadly power. But how do we know that this vaccine against sin has been successful? We know because the ultimate result of sin, death, has been defeated. Let's read verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 28 again. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." The tomb was empty. That, my friends, is the proof that the vaccine works. Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. It has been nullified. It's lost its deadly power. Romans 8 verse 1 to 2 says this wonderfully. We looked at this recently. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. See, the power that sin has over your life right now can be broken. Sin doesn't need to have dominion over you for one day longer. Why? Because Jesus Christ has conquered it. He is alive. And that means that you can have life through him. See, Jesus specializes in bringing hope where there is hopelessness. The darkest day in human history became the most triumphant event in human history. Praise God for that. Why don't you come to him this morning? See, there are people all over the world, and many who are watching this broadcast this morning, who have received this vaccine, who have trusted in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence is there for all to see in changed lives the world over. Well, thinking about people the world over, that brings us nicely onto our last point. And so lastly, I just want us to consider this. The resurrection means that we have a message to share with the world. We have a message to share with the world. Well, once we have truly encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ, what do we do about it? Well, our passage here makes it absolutely clear. We must go and tell others. We see with the women at the tomb, the angel shows them that Jesus has risen and then tells them to go quickly and tell his disciples. That's verse 7 of Matthew 28. And then Jesus meets with the disciples in verse 10. And his instruction to them is similar. Do not be afraid, he says. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. See, it's not stay here, have a little celebration amongst yourselves. If others happen to come along and ask what's going on, you can tell them about it too. No, it's a clear message. You know I'm alive. Now go and tell the others. Don't keep it to yourselves. You have encountered the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Other people need to have that same life-changing encounter. But it's at the end of chapter 28 that we get this all-encompassing exhortation from our Saviour. It's known as the Great Commission. Again, he's with his disciples, and Jesus spells out to them what the mission has to be for all of those who have had a life-changing encounter with him. Verses 18 to 20 of Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It's just those two words that I want us to focus on as we draw to a close. Therefore, go. Friends, relatives, people I've never met in this country, in other parts of the world. If what I've been saying so far this morning has warmed your soul, if you have known the transforming power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in your life, that is your mission and my mission. Therefore, go. See, there are lots of people working very hard at the moment to get a vaccine for COVID-19. And when one is found, do you think there is any chance that it will be kept quiet? If you had a cure for this horrible virus that would mean that people wouldn't need to live their lives anymore in fear of becoming infected, would you keep it to yourself? Of course not. You would be shouting it from the rooftops. Friends, brothers and sisters, there is a world out there that is hurting. There is a world out there that does not know where to turn. There is a world out there that is realizing that all the things that seemed to be so dependable aren't in fact dependable at all. And we have the cure. We have a gospel to tell that brings light into the darkest darkness. It brings hope from hopelessness. It even brings life from death. How can we do anything other than go and tell others? The gospel is for the whole world. And that's wonderful news for us here in Mid Wales. Jesus wasn't speaking in Mid Wales, actually. He was speaking in the Middle East. But the fact that the gospel is for the whole world means that it is for us as well this morning. For some, fulfilling the Great Commission means going to another part of the world, maybe the Middle East, parts of Africa, Eastern Europe, South America. We are privileged as a church to support missionaries all over the world. But for most of us, fulfilling the Great Commission means telling the thousands of folk here in Mid Wales about Jesus. Most of them only know him as a swear word. He's the risen King. What about your neighbours, your friends, your relatives? Folks, people are heading to a lost eternity. They are infected with the deadliest of viruses, and we have the cure. Hudson Taylor, a missionary to China in the 19th century, he said this. He said, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It is a command to be obeyed." Folks, we need to be busy. We need to be telling people about the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We have a Saviour whose words can be trusted implicitly, who has defeated sin and death, and who calls us to share that incredible news with the world. What a privilege that is. Now, before we sing one more time, I'm conscious that there may be some who are thinking, well, you've told us to come to Jesus, but how? How do we do that? Well, the great news is this. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to wait to come to church when the COVID virus dies down. You don't need to read the whole Bible through first just to make sure you know everything. You can come to Jesus right now, right where you are sitting. You just need to recognize that Jesus has done everything for you and to cry out to him for mercy. Ask him to forgive you and to be your saviour. He will, you know. He's true to his word. Why not do that this morning? Make this an Easter to remember. Now, if you'd like to know more, if talks like this one or others that we've put out have raised your interest and you think, actually, I'd just like to look into these things a little bit more, please do get in touch. Drop us a line confidentially on our, perhaps through our Facebook page or through our website. We'd love to give you a copy of one of the accounts of Jesus' life for you to start reading. So I've got a copy here of Luke's Gospel. All this is just a copy of one of the biographies of Jesus' life. If you would like to know more, please just get in touch with us. We'll pop one of these through your letterbox and you can start looking further into the claims of Jesus himself and what the Bible has to say about him. Just get in touch. But let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you again for the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for what the resurrection means. And we thank you that we can trust Jesus Christ, that he is somebody who is true to his word. And we pray that there will be many people watching this now who would be able to rejoice in their hearts at knowing that they are forgiven because Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. And we pray that anyone who perhaps has not come to know these things to be true for themselves before now, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, prompt people now to respond in repentance and faith, to trust in Jesus Christ for themselves. Lord, we just commit these things to you. Again, thank you for your amazing goodness. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.